Before we get started, quick word from our friends at Nybra Bets. We've still got this deposit match bonus going up to $200. Same rules as before. You receive a one-time bonus that matches your first deposit, and then you can bet double the amount of that first deposit for the money to become yours. Once again, up to $200, meaning deposit $200, bet $400, get $200. You must sign up for Nybra Bets with the promo code MONEY20 to qualify. Sign up today at NybraBets.com or download the Nybra Bets app. Hello and welcome to the Nybra Bets podcast for Saturday, June 27th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you from the Little House on the East Side. I've moved out of the garage and I'm back in the kitchen. I don't think it sounds as good in the kitchen, I've decided, but we're going to suffer through for this show while I continue to look for a more permanent home studio recording situation up here. But that's really probably not much bother to anybody but me. Very excited to have a guest who's been on the Players Podcast many times. I don't think he's joined us on our Nybra show yet, but he is a regular Nybra player. He's had a great run of success over the years in Nybra handicapping contests. Hopefully we'll hear something about those again someday. He is a friend. He is a former colleague. You might know him from the great work he did for, I don't know, decades with the publichandicapper.com website, which started out with him I'm dating him here, but he won't mind, using a fax machine to send information around. These days, he has a new venture, and we're going to start off talking about that. But first, I just want to welcome back to the In the Money airwaves, Scott Carson. How are you, my friend?
I am really great, Pete. Thanks for having me back. This is the first time I've been on since we started our own pod.
Is that right? Well, we want to talk about that, too. That's recently been renamed. But let's start off with this question. What is Sport of Kings?
Well, Sport of Kings is the successor to publichandicapper.com. It's a free contest website. Public Handicapper was a great free contest website, but there was only one problem with it. You could only have one contest at a time. And that's because we programmed it in 1999.
And I wasn't exaggerating with the decades thing. I thought I might have been a slight exaggeration.
It was programmed last century. And it was never updated because the technology, Cold Fusion, was it still exists, and Equibase actually uses it, but it's for the most part it's a dying technology, so we didn't want to redo the contest in that technology. So Sport of Kings is the successor to that, and the big difference, there's two big differences. One is that there'll be multiple contests of many different types, and they'll be going concurrently. And then the other difference is that PPs for the contest races will always be free.
Fantastic news. That is excellent. What and do you know which PPs those will be, or is that still a matter up for discussion?
Well, I have it worked out. We just haven't signed on the dotted line.
Gotcha.
But let's just put it this way. They'll be good. They'll make people happy.
I love to hear it. We talk a lot about the importance of being able to get data for free. The Sport of Kings site will allow that. Now, is this going to continue the public handicapper tradition of everything is free, or is there a paid element here?
Every single thing is always going to be free. And, you know, it's really designed to grow the sport of horse racing. So it's going to give people the opportunity, would-be handicappers, a chance to learn the game in a risk-free environment, and they might even win a prize. So it's a, you know, it's a way to have fun, get to know the game, and not have the two obstacles that prevent people from becoming horse players. One is the learning curve, and you know the learning curve is expensive. So
that's right.
So you're still going to have the learning curve, but it's going to be in a risk-free environment, with no cost environment and a fun environment. And eventually we hope that when they get the confidence to start picking, you know, when they start learning how to pick winners, they'll have the confidence to start betting, and then they're going to become horse players like you and me.
It sounds like a great educational tool. Just to give an idea, public handicapper, the contest always played out over a long amount of time. So are you talking about having some contests that play out in a single day on the new site?
Yeah, we'll have some single day, like let's say Woodbine Mile Day. We may have a contest just that day that covers like, you know, six or seven races from that day. And we won't have anything that's as long as public handicapper, like 6 months. We're going to have like an NHC qualifier, but that'll be a monthly round one contest. So if you stink in May, then in June, you get to start all over again. And like the top finishers from each month will then go to the finals, which will be the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, very cool. That sounds like a great wrinkle, a way to sort of update what you always were doing with the NHC qualifier on public handicapper, but maybe in a way that's even a little bit more fun. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, because if you didn't do well, like the guy who won the last public handicapper challenge, he had the Oaks Derby double, and like he wired the field. If you didn't have the Oaks Derby double, or if you missed both those races, you probably didn't have a chance. But now you can miss those races and then try again in June. And if it doesn't work in June, try again in July and so on.
Scott, where can people find more about Sport of Kings? What's your URL?
Okay, so it's sportofkings.net. And right now it's just an email sign up form. But, sign up. And when we launch, which will be the last week of July, we'll let you know how to sign up officially.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. You mentioned also your podcast. I can hear it in your voice that you've done many hours of radio. Not that you were ever not good, but you sound like someone who's been talking a lot in a professional context. I want to talk more about the show. I assume the show, which was the Public Handicapper Pod, has also been rechristened. Tell us when that drops, who's on it, what you guys talk about, and where folks can find it.
Sure, absolutely. So it already has been rebranded, the Sport of Kings podcast. So we've been in that incarnation for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And it's Chris Larmy and I, and Chris Larmy is a Hall of Fame handicapper. So as you know, you've had him as a guest. He's a great person to talk handicapping with. We usually have a guest, and we handicap interesting stakes or interesting pick five sequences once a week.
I know as a host myself that this question could be sort of like asking to pick between your children, but who's your favorite guest you've had so far?
Oh, God. Wow.
It's a mean question. I apologize.
It is really hard.
How about this? Instead of thinking of it that way, one show that stands out that you're particularly proud of. They don't have to be your favorite.
I thought the Marshall Graham last weekend at Oaklawn, the Arkansas Derby, that was probably the best show. And it just, you know, he gave out a couple of nice winners. He said he was going to stone cold play the try. Charlatan, yeah. So he said he was going to play that, and he did, and then he won a contest the next day. but he also gave out like a 14-1 that won the nightcap. So, and then, you know, it was just really good discussion. And sometimes we have somebody on the show who doesn't nail a winner, but it's still a great discussion because we learned something.
Well, that's what you've always been all about. Public handicapper, that ability to read other people's picks, to write your own picks. Do you have any element of that going forward, or any vision for a Sport of Kings blog or something along those lines to continue that tradition in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, kind of everything. I mean, we will have some sort of blog, but we'll also have, we're going to build it in later where we have the give people the opportunity to become public handicappers, you know, just like, you know, you can check a box that says make my picks public, and you can post a picture. So we'll do that, and That way I won't have to ask people like, hey, will you be an editor?
Right.
They'll just be able to be editors. And what'll dictate who shows up first is your record.
That's cool. That's very, very cool. I love that. It's like a competitive aspect, game within a game, educational, all free. You can check it out, sportofkings.net. You can look for the podcast. I assume iTunes and wherever folks get their podcast, Sport of Kings podcast. Is that the best way to find it?
Just do a search for Sport of Kings podcast on anything, and it should show up.
Let's dive into these races, Scott. We're just going to do a quick breeze through this Belmont late pick five. We got a bunch of stakes. We'll start off by talking about race number 7. It's the Grade 3 Vagrancy. And as the guest, I will let you begin. Who do you like in here?
Well, and, let me know if I'm rambling because we talk for a fair amount on our podcast.
We're the few sentences more type, but we'll figure out a way to make it work. I mean,
Come Dancing is the big question mark, right? Is she the same horse as she was last year? Well, you can toss her last. She wasn't working that great. And since then, she's on fire. So June 15th, she worked in just under 58 seconds. And the next best work was over 2 seconds faster. So I'd say there's a good chance she is the same horse as last year. But she's top weight. She's no value. She's 7-5. She might go lower. I don't know. So I figure you either single her or you use others because it could be a very chalky sequence. I'm inclined to not single her. So, but everything depends on the weather today because there is a forecast of potential rain, like 80% chance at 3 o'clock. And if that happens, then that can affect, the turf racing and the dirt racing. So let's assume it stays dry, but always keep in mind that if it rains, it could change the picks. So I think Mother is a use here. She's always been fast. She hasn't really accomplished much. And today I think you're going to get her at a price. And she's third off a short layoff, where the layoff race, she had big trouble. The next race was on the mud, and she's 0-4 on wet tracks. So if it's wet, then remove her and put Come Dancing in there. If it's dry, I think you use her. You might get her at a price, and she could break through. I mean, she's got a sort of a pattern that says, hey, maybe today's the day. And I just have one other use, but I don't know if I should send it to you first.
No, throw it in. Throw it in. Which one? I'm curious if it's one of mine.
Okay, well, Shallan is the other one, and she comes in off a layoff. So how does she run off a layoff? Well, she won her debut as a 2-year-old over Unique Bella. Like that,
she could run a little bit.
That's who she bet in her. She beat in her debut. She won her 4-year-old debut. She won her 5-year-old debut. And, she's working well. So she's only 5-2, but I think you got to use her.
And you might get some drift on that if the workout steam comes for Come Dancing and other things. My inclination was to try to oppose the favorites in this spot. You make good cases on how it could work out beautifully for both of them, but I'm a Royal Charlotte fan. I just thought she might be poised to run a big race after getting stuck chasing last time off the layoff, and I thought would be one who'd be forward with a rail draw and just really fit on form and figures, and I thought could be a halfway decent price. And then the longer shot that I'm going to have somewhere is number 6, Victim of Love, who I thought might end up being kind of a sneaky best speed in this spot. And I felt like fit off the best races, suited by the distance, workouts look good. And I'm just assuming that one will be completely ignored. So, and then I like your idea on Shallan as well. So I might try to get things started. I might be brave. Sometimes in the first leg of a pick five, if there's favorites I'm looking to oppose, I might just get brave with these three. If the favorites won 1-2, as they may well, I will just rip it up and start back again in the pick four. But my thought was to maybe try to eke out a little extra value in the pick five by being against those at the top of the market. So we'll see how it We'll see how it works out between the two of us. We made a case for just about every horse in the field. But just to recap for you, depending on the weather, your top pick is going to be either Mother Mother or Come Dancing. And I'm looking to spread around a bit. Technical top pick, the one, and I'll mess around 1-6-3 in race number 7. And with that, I think we should move on to race number 8. It is the Grade 2 New York Stakes going 1.25 miles on the inner turf. And in this spot, I was thinking with a couple of quality speeds on hand, maybe it's going to set up best for number 6, Mississippi. Showed us all her mettle at Saratoga last year. And just generally speaking, very tough and fast in the lane. Those two speeds are so good. I'll want them on tickets as well. If you made me rank them, I'd give preference to the 1, Call Me Love. That was a big race in defeat to a proper Grade 1 animal in Rushing Fall. And then you can't count out Mean Mary. She's not too far behind on form and figures. It's a big test for her, but I think she's got a chance once again to just keep this streak of wins going. Scott, how did you see this one?
I think it's a wide open race and you have to go deep. My sneaky price horse is Feel Glorious. She developed nicely last year, and I think it's kind of bold for her to debut her 4-year-old year at 1.25 miles when her longest race to date has been 1.125 miles. And Junior Alvarado takes her over Call Me Love, the morning line favorite. So I feel good about Feel Glorious. Valiance is an interesting horse that will be a price. She's 3-for-3 on turf. She's fast. And her Dam 1 on turf and the Grade 1 Madison on synth. You know, her last was an, I don't know if it was off the turf or a dirt race, but, meant for the dirt, but she's pretty fast and she's going to be a price. So I would use her, and I would also use Mean Mary, My Sister Nat, and Fool's Gold. And I'm just going to lay off Mississippi because I read into Graham Motion's comments in the racing form. It kind of seemed like she was going to need a race.
And interesting.
He didn't say she's going to need a race. I just kind of got that sense. So I'm going to take a chance and not use her.
Sometimes with these layoff types, I'm more comfortable taking a 1-run closer. I say sometimes, all the time, I'm more comfortable in terms of running style with a closer when I think there's going to be a potential hot pace. I feel like the whatever rust they have off the bench doesn't hurt them as much. I'm more leery of speed horses when I sense they might need one. But that's a good point. Well, this is funny. We have it's kind of great, though. We have the inverse of each other's opinions in the 7th and the 8th race. Let's see what we think as we move on to race number 9, the Grade 2 True North, 6.5. For 4 and up on the dirt, and Scott will keep it with you.
All right. Well, this is my long shot special of the day.
I like it.
I'm actually going to single a horse here because I don't really like most of the. I don't like anybody but this long shot, and that long shot is Wait For It. First of all, the pace should be sizzling with Yorkton, Diamond King, and Promises Fulfilled. It's possible Promises Fulfilled will just run them off their feet, but it should be a fast pace. So I like Wait For It. He is fast enough. He's not fast enough on Promises Fulfilled's best day, but I don't think this is going to be Promises Fulfilled best day because he's working out well, but he's not working like his usual insanity workouts. So I actually picked Wait For It a few weeks ago over Code of Honor, which it's a good thing he scratched because he wasn't going to beat Code of Honor that day. And I think they decided, hey, you know, our horse is doing well, that he was even in there against Code of Honor meant that was a sign of confidence. But then they said, you know, maybe the True North. So I'm singling the horse because I don't really like anybody else. And that way I can get away with using Come Dancing and, you know, have like 2 heavy favorites come in and still get a good payoff. So the way my ticket is structured, it's only going to cost me $120.
I love that you're thinking about it holistically, that your opinion in this race isn't just your opinion in this race, how it connects to other legs in the sequence. That's definitely a winning way of thinking. I thought it was simpler than that. I did think that Promises Fulfilled had showed enough signs of readiness. I was thinking maybe the slightly slower was a sign that maybe he was a little bit more tractable at this point in his career. On his best form, I just think he runs them off their feet, like you were that scenario that you were describing. I was going to maybe back up a little bit with Diamond King, who I thought could get an interesting pocket type, maybe more of a stalk and pounce trip if the top three do just go hammer and tongs and it sets up for further back. And while I like your case for Wait For It, and now we'll try to find a clever way to include For a Penny, the meltdown scenario I thought might favor a horse like Wicked Trick. I think the case would be kind of similar to what you were saying about Wait For It. If it just results in a proper meltdown, looking at who's fastest late, it would be kind of a jump ball between Wicked Trick and Wait For It. And we just went in different directions. But in the main, most of my tickets, 80%, will be rolling through the 7 Promises Fulfilled in the True North. Looking forward to this. It's a fantastic day of stakes, and we haven't even gotten to the main event, which comes up right now. This one is a real heavyweight fight, race number 10, the 1 mile, grade 1, Just a Game, which you could describe as a head-to-head between Newspaper of Record and Uni on paper, or maybe a head-to-head-to-head if you want to throw in Got Stormy. And you know what? The others aren't too bad either. Really fascinating contest. I ended up giving preference to Uni. Needs no introduction really, but when last seen on the racetrack, absolutely closing like a rocket ship. Before we get started, quick word from our friends at Naira Bets. We've still got this deposit match bonus going up to $200. Same rules as before. You receive a one-time bonus that matches your first deposit, and then you can bet double the amount of that first deposit for the money to become yours. Once again, up to $200, meaning deposit $200, bet $400, get $200. You must sign up for Naira Bets with the promo code MONEY20 to qualify. Sign up today at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app. Very, very. It's the old fastest horse angle. Best form and figures, working well for the return to the races. If I made me pick one in the spot, it'd be Uni. Newspaper of Record impressed me last time. Likely the best of speed in here. Wouldn't be surprised one bit to see this one come 6-4 or 4-6. And who do you like in the Just a Game?
Well, it's interesting. I agree with you on Uni, but she's going to be severely overbet. And if I was at the final table at the NHC and you made me pick a horse in this race, I would pick Got Stormy because she's as fast as Uni on her best day, and Uni's coming off a layoff. So Got Stormy looks like she hasn't run to form this year. But, you know, her last race was actually, she bobbled at the start, and I saw the head on, and I thought it looked pretty significant. So I would pick her as my top pick in this race. Uni, you know, like, yeah, she's 7-for-8 at the distance and 3-for-4 at Belmont. And you have to include her, and I'm going to include her because I'm singling Wait For It. But I would spread because, you know, coming off the layoff, I don't know. It's just, you know, and there's all these other Chads in there. I would use Regal Glory, who ran really nice last race, and running off a layoff isn't her specialty. And I would also use Zofel, who was bumped at the start in her last. She ran much closer than she usually likes. It was a 14-horse field, and she almost won the thing at 1 mile and 1/16. And now she cuts back to a distance where she's 2-for-4. She carries only 118. She's got a really interesting circle back pattern. And I think she could shock. And I kind of feel like, yeah, you have to use Uni. But like, if Uni's ever going to get beat, it's today off the best race of her life off a layoff.
For Chad Brown, I almost see the layoff as a feature, not a bug. But you know, he is in for any other trainer, I would agree with you. He's just so good in these spots. I want you to explain to readers who might, or listeners who might not know what you mean by the circle back pattern for Zofel. Very creative and interesting pick, and I want to hear more about that.
Okay, well, I use the sheets, the Thorograph sheets. So I'm just trying to bring up Zofel's sheet right here.
Sure.
So the circle back pattern is real interesting when a horse runs a new top. Let's say if you're thinking in buyer terms, let's say a horse has been running 90s and then it runs like a 93, and then that 93 sort of has an effect on the horse. So then it runs like back to a 90, and then it runs a 92. That's like the circle back, right? And if you're looking at a sheet, it's like drawing a circle on the sheet. So the question, so when you have that pattern, you're expecting that she's going to run the 93 or better. And if it's a small top, if the 93 was, coming after a lot of other races that were in the low 90s, like 91s, 92s, it's a very healthy pattern, and they're likely to run the race of their life. And it especially works well with four-year-olds. So Zofel may not be good enough to beat Uni today, but she's probably an include in verticals.
It's very interesting. I was going to say, when you have this one, 12-1 on the morning line, going to be longer, I would venture. Anytime you have a clever case on one like this, I would definitely want to put some part of your bankroll allowing for the possibility that that she runs up in the number or even wins. But maybe is your approach in this situation to try to figure out a way to get her into pick fives, or would you maybe just bet a little bit to win? How would you handle one like Zofel in terms of covering the scenario that she even outruns your expectations and wins the thing? Or would you just fade that possibility?
This is something I grapple with a lot. She's probably a key underneath, but because the pick five could be astronomical, I want to have her in the pick five sequence. Now, let's assume I'm knocked out of the pick five by the time we get there, right? It's a pretty good assumption if you're singling, wait for it. Then I would tend to think, all right, I want to key her. I want to put her in second and third and maybe fourth in the super. But there's always the like, what if she wins, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I would do a small bet with her on top, and then something bigger underneath, right? So maybe like only a 50-cent try with her on top of the other contenders that I think can get in there, and then maybe a buck underneath with the in second and third with the other contenders. Or, maybe $2 or $5. Depends on how many contenders you have.
The wagering side of things, so important and so underrated, I think, by a lot of players out there in the world. We've talked about this notion all the time that someone will spend an hour or more than an hour handicapping a race and formulate their bet on the way from getting up from wherever they're sitting to the window. And I think it's very smart the way you are a day in advance or whatever it is, already starting to think specifically in terms of wagering strategy. If people don't pick up anything else of value from this podcast, hopefully it'll help them think in the kind of terms that you're talking about, Scott. We close out this pick five with a maiden claimer going 40, my own a 16th on the inner. Before we get to it, though, Scott, did you have one more thought to button up that conversation about wagering and the importance of wagering strategy?
Well, no, actually, you just reminded me that, hey, if I really do like Zofel, I have to start planning that wager now and not wait until 10 minutes to post. So, so thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad to be, you're helping me, I'm helping you. It's a beautiful symbiotic relationship. On to this nightcap. I'll kick things off in this one. After all the graded stakes action, we get some more bread and butter stuff here. I was going to give a try to number 5, Sir Chubby, who is developing a bit of that career maiden look. But looking closely at the internal fractions, I thought this might be an improving type who might just be ready to get the diploma. I was also hoping to use the 8, Bryce, going out for a tag for the first time. And something else we talk about all the time on the show. In Europe, they talk about weight for age. Here, we think of it in terms of extra speed figure points for age. projecting improvement since the last time they were on the racetrack. Bryce fits very well with this group. And then I was going to also want to use the Firster, number 9, Montauk Summer. Good win early sire. Trainer who excels with Firsters as well. Not exactly a group of world beaters in here. I was going to try to get out 5, 8, 9. But Scott, I'll ask you in this pick 5 at Belmont tonight, how are we going to get paid?
Well, I would definitely use all three that you picked. But my top pick would be Montauk Summer. Rosario and Clement are 8 for 46 with a 276 ROI, first time starter. Clement is going really well. He's 22% at the meet right now. Just makes sense against this group, and he's carrying 118. So you have to use that horse. Now, it is a first time starter. It's probably going to get bet 6-1 morning line. So it's not something I can't have too much confidence in it, but I would definitely use it. There's a couple others that I would use that are more of a price. The first one is the 1, Tolaga Bay, at 30-1. The horse ran some numbers last year that could win, and that was last year as a 3-year-old. Assuming he's developed, you know, he's capable of running even faster than those races. And this is his second out as a 4-year-old. And the second out, the first one, it wasn't a great race. It was clearly a race that he needed. So I would use him, especially from that inside post.
I like that pick. It's also second time gelding. So it's almost like you can, erase the previous form, especially the stuff against maiden specials. Was chasing a hot pace that day. That's an interesting long shot special there, the 1, Tolaga Bay. I missed it first time through, but I would
have put him on top, except he's using Benjamin Hernandez, who I don't know whether he's a good jockey or not, but I did see that he's only won 2 out of 107 of his last turf races. So that's a negative,
And that's a tough post for a jockey too. 1/16 of rail is not an easy ride from down there.
Yeah, so he's either, he's either not well met or he's well met, but they want to make him 60-1.
I don't think of them as a gambling barn, but this is a horse that could outrun the odds. Let's put it that way, and maybe one to have on the radar regardless of what happens, because we do sort of have some built-in excuses post and jock, but you make a good form case for the horse.
Yeah, and there's one other horse, the Sandy Lane Kitten, who is kind of low on the morning line at 9-2. I'm not sure they're going to play because the trainer is, he's 0-12 for the year.
Yeah, another person like Arch Kingsley from the steeplechase world.
Yeah, yeah. So, he can win off a layoff, and maybe that's why he's so low morning line, because he can win off a layoff, but he hasn't been doing that well this year. So I would include the horse just because it's run fast enough. It ran fast enough last year to win this race. It does have a bad post, so it's not a horse I would key on, but I would use because, maybe he goes off at 6-1, 8-1.
And again, the way you're constructing these picks, you want to get spready here. You don't want to, if you're singling that with that, you get that tough single home, you want as much coverage as possible in the spot, I would imagine. And I would hope that Montauk Summer, of all the pools, I would think that Montauk Summer, if we're right, the horse is as live as we think and is going to be bet down, I think you'll preserve more value in that pick 5. One more wagering question for you, Scott, unless you had any other thoughts on this race, which you can just fold in.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, in addition to the pick 5 with your bold single, what other type of bets you might do with that one? Wait for it.
Well, that's a good question. I haven't thought about it. Honestly, I've been handicapping Helter Skelter seat in my pants just to get ready for this pod. Because I got so many other things going on. And I did my pod yesterday, and so my Thursday night was completely booked handicapping the Churchill late pick 5.
In general, are you inclined, though? I mean, my advice would be keep it simple. I would want as much win money as I put in the – whatever I put in the pick 5, I'd probably want that much win money or close to it on Wait For It in race 9 if I were you. But is your general tendency when you have a key that's that kind of money to just – you know, JK lives and dies with whether the horse does it for him in the picks. I'm always wanting to have win money on horses I like, on, essentially on top, that are over a certain price. Where do you stand in that debate?
Well, I think, you know, Waitford is 12 to 1 morning line, but is more likely to run at 20 to 1 or higher. So I have to have win money on that horse, because to get home that single and then lose it in the last leg on some horse that I didn't think of,
like, would be gross.
It would just be too painful. And then if you win with that, then you're alive and you've got the cash. So even if you get knocked out, you know, you have something to show for it. I did want to fold in one other horse that I would include in the 11th. That's Winning Factor. I don't remember why, but he's not a high price, but he's just a horse that can, you know, should be included, I think.
Forward, fits on figures. The one at the top of the market that we haven't talked about at all, I feel a little bad. We talked about this nightcap longer than some of the stakes, but it's interesting. And you had some really good angles. But the 12 Eagles Palace, I don't think either of us mentioned, that's a horse that I don't love in this spot, but another one of these second time gelding, has speed. If I had the ability in my, you know, wherever my largest spread was, that's another I'd mention to want to throw in there as well, just because that's a horse that's just so obvious. I don't want to be getting knocked out of a pick if I come up with clever things early on that one. I don't need on all tickets, but would want on my spreadiest ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wanted to include that horse, but I had to keep it affordable. If there are scratches, like, that would be the next one I put in.
Gotcha. All right, Scott.
Also a bad post, you know. So
it's not easy. It's though I find those outside posts in those dog leg type configurations, they can mitigate it with speed. They still do have to spend a little energy extra early, but speed does better than people think on these Belmont turf routes from the work that I did in my Belmont preview piece over at theraces.com. But you know, all fair points, especially regarding the price. We should get out of here, Scott, because I want to get this show posted. But I want to thank you one more time. Remind folks again, sportofkings.net. Check out the Sport of Kings podcast. Scott, it's been great to become friends with you and working with you. And, you know, you're a key part of the winning contest player. And looking forward to hopefully finding some clever and creative ways to cross-pollinate our shows and work together in the future. Godspeed today, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me. It was fun to do.
That's going to do it. Thanks one more time to Scott Carson. Thanks also to our sponsors at Naira Bets. Thanks most of all to all of you for listening, making these shows so much fun to do, and especially all the nice warm messages of support we received this week. Means a lot to me, means a ton to JK. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.